And the Gospel of Jesus Christ from Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Do you remember the great lightsaber battle from The Empire Strikes Back, right? We all know that movie. When Darth Vader tries to turn Luke Skywalker to the dark side, to join him, ruling the galaxy as father and son. Luke, it is your destiny. It's an all-time great movie line and scene. Luke declines. He has his hand cut off by Vader, falls to his apparent death instead, just to avoid that destiny. Destiny. It's not a word that we use much today, except in the movies. But that's what our passage from Hebrews this morning is about. Our human destiny. What our story is about. What our future holds, as the authors of the New Testament see it. The speaker at our fall presbytery meeting a couple years back focused on the importance of story. He insisted that that's what the Bible is. Story to be told. Story to be heard. Not a book of theology to be studied in silence. Not mostly for private devotions or learning systematic beliefs about God. Until the invention of the printing press, very few people were literate. Almost no one had books. They told stories about God, about us, about destinies. An Anglican theologian, N.T. Wright, takes that a step farther. He says that since the Bible is narrative, story, if you want to understand it, that's where you start. Unless you get the storyline, the big storyline right, you're likely to get the rest wrong too. You need to know what the picture on the puzzle box looks like, or you end up with a pile of confusing pieces that don't seem to fit together at all. Get the story right, and everything else falls into place. Our May Presbytery meeting last year focused on environmental responsibility. Now, is that even really a Christian concern? Well, yes, if we get the story right. Our story this morning may not seem familiar. It's not the dying and going to heaven narrative that we know best, but it helps us to understand our human destiny better. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. What is this story that we're reading? Well, it's a creation story. It's a new creation story based on the old one, where Adam, humanity, was appointed steward of the world and the image of God in it. The reflection, if you will, of God's glory. Well, how'd that story go? Not very well, right? Adam, humanity, chose to obey, to worship other created beings, angels, instead of God. Idolatry. Handed his power to the angels, the story says. And dark angels, some of them. And has been subject to those angels ever since. But that wasn't what God intended. God put humans, not angels, in charge here. So what would God do if God wanted to get the story back on track? Start over with a new Adam who didn't fall, who didn't hand his authority to the angels, and did fully obey God. Who was that? Jesus, yes? And in the process of doing that, Jesus reclaimed the superiority over angels that God intended for humanity in the first place, defeated the devil for us, took back this world from the devil and all his angels for us, humans. That's why Hebrews 1 moves from creation directly to Jesus' superiority over the angels, turning the tragedy of Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 on its head. Now, we didn't read all of the first chapter of Hebrews, but do. Again, what story are we telling here? A story about a coming day when we all die and go to heaven, someplace spiritual out there? Well, no. That, friends, is a Greek story. This is a Jewish story about setting what went wrong in a good world right again. So, and reclaiming this place so that God's will is done on earth as in heaven. Remember those words? We just prayed them. Well, listen again to the story that Hebrews is telling. Now, God did not subject the coming world of which we are writing to angels. What world? The coming world. But someone has testified, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, you have left nothing outside their control. What story is this? Who does God intend to subject the world's future to? Us? Humans. Is this the familiar story about our souls going to heaven when we die? I'll fly away. Well, no, it's not. It's the Jewish story, a story of the coming world, as in, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. A story where the world is restored to the way God intended it to be from the beginning, with humanity us restored to our role as stewards, caretakers, the image of God in this world, reigning, but as servants, both to God and creation, reigning over angelic powers, even dark powers, demonic forces behind the violence, division, warfare, racism, injustice, hatred, chaos, sickness, and death that have held this world in bondage for so long, rather than being ruled by them anymore. The story is of a good world that needs deliverance from forces it was never intended to be subject to. And the story is about our part, our human role in that deliverance, being what we were intended to be from the beginning, destined to be. It's not about a bad world that we need to escape from. I'll fly away, O glory. You know the song. Get the story right, and the details start to fall into place. Get the story wrong, and reading the Bible is like trying to put a jigsaw puzzle together without the picture on the box. So back to the story. Now, as it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. What story is this? It's still the same story of humanity, Adam, called to be God's steward in this world, but with a further observation. It still doesn't seem to be happening. We do not yet see everything in subjection to humanity. Demonic forces, hatred, injustice, bigotry behind the violence that we see all over this world, pandemics, a chaotic creation. It's still all around us. But we do see Jesus after being obedient where Adam wasn't, after submitting to God's will and suffering death for us, after being humbled for us, after defeating sin, death, and the devil in the great cross and resurrection battle. Jesus is reigning now, already, at the right hand of God, for us, in humanity's place, in Adam's place, being the image of God for us, continuing the battle with all the powers of darkness until the last enemy is fully and finally defeated, being Lord of all and leader of his people, holding a seat for us and bringing us to the point where we're ready at long last to do and to be what we were always intended to do and to be from the beginning. What? Leave? Die and go to heaven? Fly away? Go and be with God? No! That's the wrong story. To fulfill our human destiny, to be the stewards and caretakers of this place, to take on the role that we were given in the beginning, to reign for God with Jesus, our brother, as the meek, to inherit the earth with Jesus, the rightful heir who isn't afraid to call us siblings. Confusing? Sorry. I know it isn't the story we're familiar with. But it is the Bible story. It is the big story. Does it even matter if we get the story right? Who knows exactly what happens after we die? It matters because the story is about destinies, which makes it about how we live today. The point of dying and going to heaven Christianity is preparing for an otherworldly hereafter, saving my soul. I need to be saved from the world. I'll fly away. The point of kingdom Christianity, reigning with Jesus Christianity, is being saved for the world, in the world, with the world. In I'll fly away Christianity, I'm made right with God so I can spend eternity out there, somewhere. In kingdom Christianity, I'm made right with God so I can be used by God starting now to help make all creation right. In I'll fly away Christianity, the world is expendable. Societies don't matter, long term anyway. Souls matter. In kingdom Christianity, all creation matters. This good world will be redeemed. And social justice now anticipates a world fully and finally set right. In I'll fly away Christianity, discipleship is preparing myself for heaven. In kingdom Christianity, discipleship is about learning to live here, in and for the future, now. Being called to practice forgiveness, humility, justice, compassion, peacemaking, environmental responsibility. Learning our jobs, not for my soul's sake, but for the sake of the world that we've been put in charge of. Doing everything we can now to heal the world. Why? Our destiny is to be the stewards of this place, to inherit it with Christ, to be the image of God in this world that we were intended to be. Getting the story right matters if we're to become what God has put us, called us to be, what God has put us in charge here to be. That's the story. That's the destiny that we're called to live towards. And now to the one who, by the power at work in us, is able to do far beyond all that we ask or even imagine. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Now and always, amen.